Going to talk about, I told y'all last week, I usually don't tell you what I'm going to preach about the next week because I usually don't know, or God changes his mind, but I want to talk about God's order. And sometimes we don't like to hear about order. Sometimes we think order is religious, and it can be. It can be very religious. That's true. But you know, it's almost like the enemy pushes things so far one way that you reject the counsel of God because you say, oh, that's religion, or oh, that's not God, because God's totally free and God's people are totally free. We are free in Jesus, amen? Amen. Free from what? Free from the laws of sin and death, right? Where's Jamie? Where's Elizabeth? Jerry, Mariah, Samuel, get up here on the stage real quick, would you? No, get on up there. Whoever else was playing this morning, just grab your instrument. You don't have to grab it. I didn't tell them this, so they weren't ready. I wasn't even thinking about this. So, if everything's totally free and there's no order, okay, here's what I want you to do. Not right this second, but when I say now, I want you to play your favorite bass line. Jamie, I want you to play your favorite song. Samuel, I want you to play your favorite song. Mariah, I want you to play your favorite song or beat. And Jerry, I want you to play your favorite or whatever comes to your mind, heart, or song when I count to three. Are y'all on? This is going to be good because this is freedom. This is freedom at its nth. Yeah, y'all can crank it. I know this. I should have told y'all this beforehand, but I didn't know beforehand. Y'all got everything on? Can you hear them? Really? Anything. Just what you want to do. I want you to do what you want to do, Elizabeth. I want you to do what you want to do, Jamie. Jerry, what you want to do. Mariah, what you want to do. That's freedom, isn't it? Samuel, what you want to do. One, two, three. Do it. Man, that don't sound too bad. Come on, don't get in the rhythm of what she's doing. Do what you're doing. Now if we just had somebody to sing. Do it again, do it again. Come on, do it again. I want to hear it again. Freedom, freedom, freedom! I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. That's enough.
They'll start leaving in a minute.
Now that's freedom. That is freedom. No need for a worship leader. No need for music. That is freedom. Praise the Lord. You like that?
No.
Don't you wish all music was like more free? Thank y'all. No, that's enough, really. Please, you weren't up close, man. That was not good.
Wish. We're done now.
Okay, so there is God, there's order, isn't there? There's order in creation, right? Is there order in creation?
Yeah.
Who reads real? Who's got a real good reading voice? I want a young lady with a real good reading voice. Yeah. Kristen's not here. She's got a real good reading voice. Do you read good? You read good, don't you? Come here and read this section for me, would you? This is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Just read this whole through. Whoa, 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 through. But that's a lot, but it's good. You can just scroll it like that.
31, right?
Yeah. This is the word of God, praise the Lord.
It's Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah.
Starting at verse 1 through 31. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. But verse 31, you got to finish it. It says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day."
Very good. Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, that was
Very good. So this account of creation, you know, did you see a lot of disorder in what God did? That he just, and there was like, everything was in chaos. Was everything in chaos when God created it? It said he gave every green herb of the field to feed all the animals, didn't he? At one time, I take it the animals weren't carnivorous. What brought confusion into all this great creation? Sin happened, and then everything became in chaos. God designed everything to operate forever, and to, you know, it's not like that anymore, but he designed everything to live forever and to exist forever. Adam and Eve weren't supposed to die. There was supposed to be no sickness. When he worked in the garden, there wasn't supposed to be weeds. There wasn't supposed to be thorns. There wasn't supposed to be insects that consumed all the crops. God had everything planned out, wouldn't you say? I know I'm not telling you guys nothing you don't know if you believe the Bible. All the laws of the universe are dependent on order to exist. Would you say that's true? Would you really? Is that what they teach? They don't teach that, do they? You know, the law of order of the universe would say there's a law, and it's called the law of gravity. And when I let this go, Samuel, it's going to float up to the ceiling. It'll always do that on the planet Earth, always. And when it doesn't do that anymore, we are bound for quick destruction because it won't work anymore. We're going to have big problems when the law of gravity don't work. Because the air, we wouldn't even have air to breathe because there'd be nothing to hold this planet together. And there's all kinds of laws that you can think. Give me a law of the universe. Can you think of one? Y'all can't think of one. Y'all didn't pay no attention in school, huh? Sowing and reaping. Now, that's a spiritual law for sure, but it's just as real. It's just as real as the law of gravity, isn't it? Have you ever proved God to see if that's true? He says, prove me. He says, prove me. Test me. He said, you bring a tithes and offerings in, and I will multiply. I will give you a blessing so big that you can't even contain it. Now, don't say, here's my money, and if I'm not multiplied 100-fold by next week, I quit. And that's what happens. You don't plant one seed in the garden and expect, well, honey, we want to get on that. You guys are givers. I don't need to preach to you about giving. Y'all are givers. Don't need to preach to you about it anyway. Either you obey God or you don't. There's no preaching about it. There is no preaching about it. But all the laws of the universe are dependent on order to operate. And I always think of this one, and I didn't pay no attention in school much, but I heard this one time, and I'm not going to use the scientific words or I wouldn't understand it and you wouldn't understand it. But the second law of thermodynamics, you ever heard of that? Yeah. Describes basic principles familiar in everyday life. It is a universal law of decay. The ultimate cause of why everything ultimately falls apart and disintegrates over time. Material things are not eternal. Everything appears to change eventually and chaos increases. Nothing stays as fresh as the day one buys it. Clothing becomes faded, threadbare, ultimately returns to dust. Everything ages and wears out. Even death is a manifestation of this law. The effects of the second law are all around, touching everything in the universe. Disorder never leads to order. So if you believe that second law of thermodynamics, how many would say I believe that because y'all won't believe that? Okay, in your own experience, let's put it that way. You go on vacation for 2 weeks, and you come home. Your grass is nicely trimmed. Everything's in order. Is that the way it is? No. You leave your house for, I'd say if you went in that house down here at the bottom of the hill, and you opened it up, there would be vermin. There would be mice. There would be all kinds of insects. Because, is that not true? Things would be deteriorating. So everything is deteriorating, right? Now, we come to man's theory, or is it the theory of, which is now taught in school as the fact of evolution, which states that everything comes from a lower rate and increases and becomes better and better and better and better, right? Is that true? Is that what they teach? Everything came from nothing. Everything came out of chaos and got better and better and better. Man is evolving into a better state, a more, look around at America. Is America evolving into a better society? Some people would say so. But I mean, if you just think science contradicting science, that's just as foolish as all these guitars and instruments playing and expecting that to be a sweet sound. Okay, so we could go into God's laws and universe, and you could have scripture after scripture after scripture. But the second one, law of order, is the Jews are God's chosen people. And he used them as example after example after example for us, didn't he? When you spend time away from God or denying God or plugging into the world system, you get further and further and further away from God. And it don't take very long, does it? Let me read you a little scripture in Exodus. Y'all can go there if you want to. Exodus 32. Y'all got it? Y'all pretty quick. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, what did he go up to the mountain to get? To speak to God, right? Speak to God, face to face, praise the Lord. The people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods, little g, that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and he made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In other words, they started an orgy. If you don't know what that is, look it up when you get home. Just a wild, reckless, abandoned, total freedom. Freedom without any restraints, wouldn't you say? But really, it's bondage. So what do y'all think about this? What happened? What happened previous to this? God sent the plagues on Egypt, and the very last one was what? Death to the firstborn. And he said, if you take some of the blood of the lamb and you put it over the doorpost, the death angel will pass over you, Shelby. He'll pass over your family. I'm not picking on you, Shelby, but he has passed over you, man. You have come from death into life, praise the Lord. Yep. Amen? You were on your way to hell, but now you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. I hope you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. But he brought them out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders and miracles, right? And they got backed up against the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army, and he puts a barrier between them. Was it fire by day? It was fire. It was a thing of fire that separated them that night. And it said the east wind or the west wind, I'm not sure, blew all night, and the sea was parted. And in the morning, they walked across on dry land. Come on. He kills all the Egyptian firstborn. He saves all of the Israel or the Jewish firstborn, and he does it with blood. He does it with blood. He still does it with blood. He still does it with blood. Praise God for the blood. Thank him. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Yes. So he parts the Red Sea. The children of Israel walk across the Red Sea. And then when the Egyptians get in the middle of it and their chariots start getting stuck in the mud and stuff, it's like, the water collapses on them. And they watch their enemies bob up on the shore. And they sing a sad song. Oh, the poor Egyptians. Oh, the poor Egyptians. Come on, everybody. Oh, the poor Egyptians who treated us so bad. We are sorry for the Egyptians are dead. Or was it, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Come on. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, horse and rider thrown into the sea. Come on. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and my Father is God, and I will exalt him. Which was it? The dirge, I'm sorry the Egyptians drowned it, or thank you, Lord, for taking my enemies out. Yeah, said she grabbed a tambourine, and she was going, woo, Miriam, right? Man, that's awesome. Love your enemies, praise God, but don't fall into bed with them. Don't go to bed with your enemy. Love them. Pray for them. Lead them to Jesus, but don't be affected by them because you'll die. You'll die. Can you believe that all these works God did, and I don't know what the time frame was, but it was just a short time that all of a sudden, we need something to worship. We're going to worship a stinking golden cow. You would have think you could have come up with something a little bit more majestic. In fact, I think, wasn't a cow one of the Egyptian gods? They had many. I think cows, well, India worships cows, so. Anyway, let me get my breath. It's like climbing that mountain. Jesus, how many old Jesus operated in order? Did he not? Do you think Jesus had the power of God dwelling in him when he was 15 years old? Or 20 years old? Or 21 years old? Or 25 years old? God could have poured out his presence on Jesus? Because Jesus had no sin, so there was no reason that God couldn't dwell in him richly, right? But if you look at Jewish law, what did Jewish law say? At 30 years old is when you could become a priest, when you could do priestly duties. So Jesus was not baptized and Jesus was not filled with the Holy Ghost until he was 30 years old. Is there a reason for that? Because he wanted to. Well, let's read real quick about his baptism. Just a short verse, Matthew 3:13. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? It's like, you're the Son of God. Why would I baptize you? I'm just a man. You are Messiah. He didn't say all that, but that's what he's thinking. Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to what? Fulfill all righteousness." In other words, the scriptures have written this. The prophecies have been made. I've got to do what the Word of God says, right? Matthew 5:17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." What's fulfill? Fully fill. Fully take care of what's been prophesied. I'm not going to halfway. How you doing, honey? How's Brittany? Keep praying for her. Keep praying for her. In Jesus' name, God, we want to see a miracle. Not to see a miracle, but God, we want to see because you love Brittany, God. Amen. You're touching her because you love her, Jesus. "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away." It's been what, 2,000 plus years? Has heaven and earth passed away yet? So there's more stuff to be fulfilled. He says, "Not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till what? All." All is fulfilled. So there's order in God's kingdom. There's order in creation. There's order in Jesus' life and ministry. And I'm sure we could sit there. There's order in the Jewish nation. There should be order. God laid things out for them. And every time they departed from it, what happened? Every time the Jews departed from God's ordinances and rules, what happened? They got in trouble. They got defeated by another nation, didn't they? They went into captivity. It started out as what? It started out in Egypt as bondage, freedom, prosperity, judgment, bondage, freedom, prosperity. It's like a perfect circle. Full circle. And if you watch America, America was birthed on the Word of God. It was birthed on freedom of Jesus. It was birthed on the God of the Bible. It was birthed on Jesus, the Son of God. It was not birthed on Buddha. It was not birthed on Allah. It was not birthed on any other cult. It didn't say you couldn't come here. You couldn't be who you wanted to be. But it said that the foundation... Man, if you look in the law book, if you look at the laws, obscure laws in the law book, like if a guy disappears for 7 years, he's declared legally dead, and you look at all these obscure laws, you will, as you read through the Old Testament, they were all formed. All the laws of our country used to be formed pretty much out of the Word of God. That's why it works so good. Amen? Amen? What's the name of the book? Dr. Zeus Horton. Horton Hears the Who. There's a prophetic word in that book. What's it say?
A person's a person, no matter how small.
Okay. I'll say no more about that. Okay, so there's order in the Jewish nation. There's order in the kingdom of God. There's order in creation. There's order in the universe. Galatians 5:16. There's order in our own lives. God meant for there to be order in our own lives. He says, "Walk in the Spirit." What? Capital S. What Spirit? Holy Spirit. "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts," and lust means wars. It's like wars against. It's stronger than just a lust that you have in the worldly sense. "And the Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And that's where freedom comes in. When you walk in the Spirit, Mariah, you're not under the law. When you obey your parents, there's no discipline there. There's no threat of discipline, right? It's there's freedom. Same for you, Samuel. When you do that, there's no fear of retribution because you're walking in the Spirit. And it's the only way you can do that is to have the Holy Spirit, by the way. You cannot walk in the Spirit outside of that. It just don't work. Because it's always going to pop up. Like New Year's resolutions, right? You can make all these resolutions. I'll never do that. I'm going to lose 40 pounds. I'm going to I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit cussing, you know. And when the pressure gets on, and it always does, when that pressure comes, it's like, bing, 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 bing. And you quit smoking, and it's like, bing, I'm going to eat all the time. Or bing, I'm going to do this all the time. Is that true? It always is going to pop up unless it's crucified. I'm getting off the subject. But you know it's true. Y'all know it's true. You've all been through it. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean a slip, by the way. That means a lifestyle. That's what that means. Praise God for His grace. Praise God for His grace, because none of us would have a shot at it, right? But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I put holy in there, but that's a capital S, is love, joy, peace. Man, during worship, didn't you feel joy? Didn't you feel peace? Didn't you feel the love of God? I did. How many of y'all know that's easy? That's easy. But if you don't give love, joy, and peace, the other aspects of it, they can't be fulfilled. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be born again. You got to have the Holy Spirit to do the other ones. Because some of them, to the world, these other attributes or fruits of the Spirit seem like a bad thing or a stifling thing or I can't do that thing. But really, in God's presence, all these things are a joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What's long-suffering? It's patience. Who was talking about patience car wash? Patience. It is, man. It's patience. When you go to Haiti and they say, we're leaving at 7 in the morning, you're sitting there thinking, we got to be at the airport in an hour and a half, and we're still sitting here vegetating. And in America, it's like, come on, we got to get going. And it's like, you call it Haitian time, don't you? It'll test your fortitude, won't it? Wow. Patience. Everybody's got something that tests their patience. I will assure you, and the enemy knows it, and the Lord knows it, and He has to put it out there to refine you occasionally, sometimes more than occasionally. And when you don't pass the test, guess what? You keep going. It's just like school. You flunk. You repeat it. You repeat it. You repeat it. You repeat it. And finally, hopefully someday, you'll get free of that. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I think Dave Hogan said, I don't know if it was a video or when he was at church, he said, that's a word that put in the dictionary just a couple of years ago, faithfulness, man. He said, you don't see that much anymore. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. That's what? What's another word for that?
Discipline.
And that's another word for following the precepts of God. That's order, isn't it? Is discipline not order? How many of y'all, and I won't ask you this, how many of y'all have ever been on a exercise program or used to, anybody? I used to run 3 days. You never look at me and think I ever ran, but I used to run 3 days a week. If it was snowing outside, if there was ice on the road, it did not matter. If it was my, isn't that true? If it was my day, and this was for years and years and years. And then something happened. I had an attack from the enemy, and my eye was all whacked out, and it was probably MS, but it's gone now, praise God. But laying off of it, because I couldn't see to run, laying off of it just for that few months, it's so hard to pull back into what, is that true? And I'm sure you guys are still free of a lot of stuff God's freed you from, but just think of the things He wants you to be free of, or think of the good disciplines He wants in your life. And He is able to deliver. He's able to keep what He's promised you, isn't He? So don't give up, man. Be patient, be long-suffering, and self-control. Discipline, you know what? Reading the Bible every day is discipline. It can be a joy, but some days it can be like, oh, what did I just read? Have you ever done that? It's like, oh, did I? You go, well, there's no use in doing that no more. No, that's not true, because the Word of God is powerful and mighty and sharper, right? Do you ever have trouble with that, Samuel? Reading the Word of God? If you don't, you're one of the few that, but you do it. You don't do it because it feels good. You do it because it's manna. It's discipline. It's life, isn't it? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay. So God gave order to our lives. He gave order to the Jewish nation. He gave order to in creation. He gave order. Even Jesus walked in order. Even Jesus walked. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. So he was a very disciplined man. It said he'd be up that night in the garden. It said he was up praying. It was wee hours of the morning. He's praying and he's going after God, and he's praying so hard that he's sweating blood drops, right? And the disciples aren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet, are they? And what are they doing? They're laying over there and they're going to sleep. He said, come on, get up and pray with me. Pray with me. You don't know what kind of temptations are coming in the morning. Pray with me. So they got up and just a few minutes later there, and y'all have done that. I've done that. And you know, I want to tell you, that was so pivotal the other night when we was 15 minutes from home on that trip. It's like the Holy Spirit said, get them all to pray in the Spirit together for 15 minutes. And man, they did, and they started getting louder and louder and louder, and you could tell the Spirit of God was moving in there. Who was it got a new language? Yeah, Hannah got a new language, and you said it sounded like Hawaiian. Praise the Lord. I like that. But there's something about doing that together. Y'all ever done that? You're saying, we're going to pray in the Spirit for 15 minutes. Well, that's not too long. Try it. That's a good piece of. But it's so invigorating. Is when we stop. I said, okay, time to stop. It's like you turn a faucet off and it's broke and it just keeps dripping. Oh, well, y'all weren't there. It was good. I enjoyed it. Did y'all enjoy it? Praise the Lord. So God gave order in the church, too. And I'm not going to go into much of this, but 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. What's he say? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Does it say to run from them or curse them? It says desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Y'all was speaking mysteries the other night. Who knows what you were praying for? Who knows what disaster was diverted because y'all were praying in the Spirit the other night? He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And this has been abused by the church so bad to say, well, That's just being selfish, edifying yourself. What? Is that true? Did you eat breakfast today? Did you eat a meal yesterday? Have you eaten the last 3 weeks? How many of y'all have eaten a meal in the last 3 weeks? Edifying yourself! How dare you edify yourself? How many of y'all took a bath in the last... Oh, I don't even want to know that. You're edifying yourself, man. What's wrong with edifying yourself? Everything you do edifies something, right? So edifying yourself is good. If you're down and depressed and you get fired up in the Holy Ghost, that's not a bad thing. The devil's not behind that. Now, I've heard devil tongues. There are devil tongues. There are. There's a counterfeit to everything in the kingdom of God, but you, because you have you've got the gift of discernment, you'll know that. I'm shutting up because I'm only getting through 4 of these 6, because next week I want all the children, I want all the families and everybody to be in here next week. We'll see if we can make it more fun than the volunteer band. Woo. I'll never forget that. Really, I thought it was going to, sounded like it was going somewhere. So I thought, no, that's not supposed to happen. They're in the spirit even when they're not trying to be, man. Gosh. Yeah, it is. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Now, prophesy could be what Jerry's talking about, a word from heaven, a divine word. It could also be preaching or teaching the word of God, just depending on what they're meaning there. I wish you all, listen, this is what Paul said. Paul was a Southern Baptist. I wish you all spoke with, say it. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Say it again. I wish you all spoke with tongues. And by the way, that is such a stinking dividing point. You know what? That should not be a dividing point. It don't matter. You're my brother, you're my sister. Take me by the hand. Together we will till he comes. It don't matter to me, man. It don't matter to me if you speak in tongues or you don't. I believe you should desire all the gifts of the Spirit, but it doesn't matter. I love you, and I believe you're just as much of a Christian as I just want you to know that. It's not a dividing point. I tell you, I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going here, okay? Tower of Babel. Think about it. Think about it. What'd they do? They were on the plains of Shinar, right? And it said they built this tower that went up to the heavens, and really it was a tower to say, I have attained, you know, I am greater. I'm going to get to heaven with this tower. And it must have been a sight, you know. But it said everybody spoke the same language. Isn't that amazing? And God said, let us go down and see what they're up to. It's not like he didn't know, but God always wanted proof. He always wanted to say, yes, I looked, I observed before I did, right? So he went down, and sure enough, they were building an idol tower. And he said, if man can be in total unity, basically, there is nothing that he can't attain. There is nothing impossible to him. So let's go down and confound their language. And so Mike's speaking English, and you're speaking French, and you're speaking Swahili, and you're speaking, and everybody, oh, I don't know how many languages there are in the world, but there's a bunch. Haitian. That's a mix of French and something, Creole. Anyway, all this is going on, and the confusion comes down, and it said they couldn't, they were fighting, they were at odds with each other, they couldn't come into agreement anymore. You ever been in a foreign country? You ever been in a place where nobody can speak English? That's weird. We had translators, praise God, but it's like, and it's funny, when you're talking to somebody that speaks another language, you move your mouth real big because they can figure out what you're saying by reading your lips. Not really, it's funny. But confusion came to the planet, right? Confusion came. Unity left. And then something happened. Jesus died and he said, go dwell in the upper room until the Spirit of God comes. Come, come, come. So they waited in the upper room and they prayed and they seek God. And then all of a sudden, a mighty wind blew in, and then these tongues of fire was over everybody's head, and said they all started speaking in other tongues. You know, I believe that's when unity was returned. I believe that's when we have a common language. I believe now we can all pray in tongues and we can all seek after God, and there's unity. It was meant to bring unity, but the enemy said, no, I'm going to put division here. But I believe it was the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel. My opinion. And I know it's true. Only because I told Don a long time ago I believe that. And then we get these things called a super book from 700 Club. And they had an adventure. It was the Tower of Babel and then it was the Book of Acts. And it had these two things together. So I know if Pat Roberts and them believe it, I know it's the truth. Pat said it. I believe it. No, I'm teasing. So God has given us order in the church, and he didn't do it to be mean. He did it so, and it talks about tongues. It said tongues, he said if tongues are given in a meeting, they should be interpreted. And I think the thing, it's like, pray in the Spirit. And if you notice, Sarah was singing in the Spirit. It don't say nothing about singing in the Spirit being interpreted. It don't say anything about that. But when you pray in the Spirit, I think there's a difference between praying in the Spirit and speaking a word in the Spirit. And if you ever heard it, you know the difference. When it comes up, it'll be like, woof, you can just feel it. And you know there's supposed to be an interpretation there. You just know it. But sometimes, like in prayer meetings, or I know Mary especially, she's not here, but Mary and Sarah, and I think a lot of y'all, you'll start praying in the Spirit when it's time to pray in church, and then all of a sudden you start saying something. Well, I believe what you're saying is the interpretation of what you just prayed in tongues. Does that make sense? Because lots of times, we think it's got to be like, we always put things in a formula. We think it's got to be like, and then there's a silence and we go, thus saith the Lord. And that's okay. But I'm just saying, that's God did not write that order out in the Bible, you know? You know when it's a thus saith the Lord. You don't need that proclamation. And I'm not against that proclamation, but I'm just saying there's a difference between praying in tongues, singing in tongues. It's different anyway. I'm digging myself deeper and deeper, aren't I? Anyway, God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He's given us fivefold ministry gifts for the equipping of the saints. And I believe the thing is the church has got hung up on that too. Because, you know, the church thinks, well, I have to have all these gifts operating in my local house. You know, whether there's five people in the church or 50 or 500. But I believe God has given us regional gifts. I believe this Highway 150 corridor. I know that there's an apostle there. I know there's a prophet there. I know there's teachers and pastors, and you know they are. You know, they don't say, well, and please, don't hear me wrong. It's no different from somebody saying, I'm Apostle Stephen or whatever. And I could say, well, I'm Pastor Mark, you know. And I believe there should be honor. But I always figured you know people by what they are. You know people by what they are, don't you? You know by the fruit. So God's given us deacons. He's given us elders. And praise God, since we've started appointing these things, that God has just really raised up in people. And they're coming up. They're coming up. So I'm just so praise the Lord what he's done. So everybody stand up. I know this was mainly teaching. It wasn't. Hope you got something out of it. More than that, I hope you walk in it this week, you know. And if you need, when we close, if you need prayer for healing or you need prayer for finances or emotional or just, you know, whatever's going on in your life, if you need prayer, please come up here and get prayer. And there's power and agreement. We'll agree together and believe God will do great things. But this means I receive. And I started trying to learn this priestly blessing. Not that I'm not a rabbi, I don't pretend to be, but there's power in a blessing that God has given the church, right? And he gave this to Aaron. So I'm going to do it in Hebrew first, then I'll do it in English. I'll attempt to do it in Hebrew. Yeva rekaha Adonai vaish mareka. Yasur Adonai panev aleka vihu neka. Yisa Adonai panev aleka vaya slim laha salom. Kinhasi retzen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord to make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. In Jesus' name. And y'all go out and bless the world this week, man, because if the kingdom of God dwells in you, you are world shakers, you are world changers. You're going to preach the gospel and see souls come in. You're going to lay hands on the sick and see them raised up. Young people, you're going to go to school, and it's going to be a counter-revolution of everything ungodly going on there. You're going to start seeing people pray in the hallways. You're going to see people fall out in the spirit in the classrooms. You're going to see amazing things because that power revival's coming. And I heard Sarah, when she was singing today, she said, "Restore us, Lord, restore us, Lord, restore us, Lord." And that's that last fourth wind from heaven that's getting ready to blow on this planet in Jesus' name. And y'all at work out in the heathen workplace, God, in Jesus' name, God, let them be a light. Let them not be a follower. Let them be a leader, God. Let them be bold, God. Let them raise up in the anointing of God, Lord. Let people come to them and say, "Hey, you, this God you've got, do you think he could love me? Do you think he could change me?" Yes, I know he could. I know God's, and y'all, moms at home, oh, Lord, bless them, Jesus. God, bless them. Those that are trying to homeschool, bless them. Bless them. Bless them with wisdom and patience and discernment, God, in Jesus' name. And bless these little ones to learn. Let them learn what they need to learn, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. For mamas and daddies, God, with those dealing with sickness right now, God, I pray the anointing and power of God in their mouth and in their hands, Jesus. God, we pray for family that's sick right now, God. We pray for Brittany to complete that good work you've started in her today, God, to heal her and touch her in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray for prosperity on families. I pray for increases in wages. I pray, God, for promotions, God. I pray, Jesus, they be the head and not the tail, God, in Jesus' name, God. Bless, bless, bless. And the only reason God will bless you is so you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. It's not to squander on your own lust. God is going to bless you so you can be a blessing. So, Lord, bless them. Praise the Lord.